In Poland today, President Biden had a slice of pizza with American troops temporarily deployed there as the Russian war in Ukraine enters month two. He told them their work is consequential.
The question is, who's going to prevail? Our democracy is going to prevail and the values we share, or autocracy is going to prevail? And that's really what's at stake.
A new NPR Ipsos poll shows that almost half of people surveyed think Biden is being too cautious in response to President Vladimir Putin's aggression. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now. Domenico Montanaro is senior political editor and correspondent at NPR. Maya King is political reporter at The New York Times. Hello to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
So we were struck by a headline yesterday about how the world has changed in the 4 weeks since Russia invaded Ukraine. Maya, would you say that politics has changed?
I do think the way that we think about politics has changed quite a bit, especially over the last few years. Americans have been hyper aware of democracy as a notion and also of its fragility. I think what's taking place in Ukraine right now has again made Americans focus on that once again, and also has forced a number of folks to kind of consider their politics in relation to that. Now, perhaps we can have another conversation about maybe how this has deepened partisan divides, but I do think for things to have shifted so dramatically in these last few weeks, in this last month, it absolutely has an impact on our politics, and almost in a very sort of meta way in the way that we think about it and the way that we think about our government as well.
Domenico, what would you say to that? Have politics changed here, and are they going to change back?
Well, looking at it in a more micro way rather than a meta way, and I agree totally, but that at home, you're seeing a little bit of a rally around the flag effect. Biden is now in the mid-40s for his approval rating pretty consistently, and that had been trending lower before the war in Ukraine. You know, it's also taken some attention domestically off of inflation, which Americans are continuing to say is their top concern. I mean, that's still out there. And gas prices continuing to go up. You know, you've got these 6-foot signs in the middle of the road that people see. I doubt people really know what the price of bread is, but I'm pretty sure they know what a gallon of gas costs. And, you know, it's given the administration something to blame these increasing gas prices on and sort of deflect a little bit of attention away from, you know, the administration and blame on them.
Well, let's talk a little bit about more about the president in Brussels yesterday. President Biden talked about a united NATO, and he was also asked about the 2024 presidential election in this country and possibly having to run against former President Trump.
One of the things that I take some solace from is I don't think you'll find any European leader who thinks that I am not up to the job.
The question, I guess, is whether Americans think he is up to the task in this war. Domenico, tell us a little bit more about the new poll on these questions.
Well, first of all, Biden has said repeatedly that he intends to run in 2024, and that you would expect, because as soon as a president says they're not going to run, it makes them a bit of a lame duck and their agenda is sidelined. So there's still an open question about whether he will actually decide to run, given his age. But, you know, I think Democrats at home and Democratic strategists I talk to consistently tell me who's the alternative. You know, they don't think that Vice President Harris, you know, has as strong a brand, or that Pete Buttigieg, for example, the transportation secretary, could beat Harris in a primary. So, you know, Democrats are sort of stuck in this position where Biden is the brand, and a lot of strategists think he gives them the best chance to win. So it's really interesting to see what's going to wind up happening there.
Even with Biden's poll numbers not that great?
You know, elections, we always say, are choices, right? And, you know, these poll numbers reflect how people feel about Biden and how he's doing his job currently, but it doesn't measure him against, you know, someone like former President Trump. And, you know, all of the outlooks right now are pointing to, you know, a COVID receding that experts think will lead to inflation receding and a continued expansion of the economy. So if you're looking in a year at the landscape compared to 2022, which, you know, look, all signs are the Democrats are going to get wiped out most likely in the House and Republicans are going to take control there. But we've seen that movie before where a president has gotten, quote, shellacked, 2010, which is former President Obama's words. And then he went on to win re-election because the landscape in the country had changed. So these things can change and change quickly, especially within a year.
So let's turn to a bombshell of a political story about the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Ginni Thomas, as many people know, outspoken conservative activist, sent text to the White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows after the 2020 election, and those texts are now public. She was urging Meadows to help overturn the election. One text says, Biden and the left is attempting the greatest heist of our history. And that is at the same time that the Trump White House was weighing whether or not to go to the Supreme Court to address their complaints. Maya, help me to put this in context, at least politically, whether there will be fallout because of this.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that this is obviously a huge conflict of interest for a sitting Supreme Court justice's wife to be actively advocating for the overturn of a Democratic election. That in itself makes this story huge. Obviously, we've been watching over the past week, we've been monitoring Justice Thomas's health. And I think now a number of the conversations are going to turn to exactly what Justice Thomas's next move is here. Of course, I know a number of people are waiting to hear from him, but I think there we will also see growing calls or at least questions around whether or not the Supreme Court justice plans to remain on the court now that this conflict has been uncovered. But, you know, I think there still is a lot for folks to learn here and understand. So it is not quite a wait and see yet at the same time. You know, I think the direction that the Supreme Court justice now heads in is going to give us a good indication of just how damning these texts really are.
Well, you know, the Thomases would draw a distinction between, you know, Ginni Thomas's conservative activism and Clarence Thomas himself, because we haven't seen texts that are, you know, specific to Clarence Thomas. You haven't seen him sitting on the board, boards of groups, for example, that might have a conflict for, you know, cases that come before the court. And I think that this is going to shed a lot of light on what Chief Justice Roberts winds up doing or saying about any of this, because he's acutely aware of the politics. He's acutely aware of the partisan divide over the court and how the views of the court have declined over time. You know, Ginni Thomas has been an activist, you know, for a long time on the far right. Her activism has been brought up before as a potential conflict of interest for Justice Thomas. You know, she was an ardent Tea Party activist who opposed the Affordable Care Act, for example, which of course has come before the Supreme Court. But, you know, her support for what is essentially the overthrow of the duly elected United States government certainly is farther and puts even more of a spotlight on Justice Thomas himself. He's usually reticent. We're probably unlikely to hear him talk about this in particular, but I'm very curious to see what Chief Justice Roberts winds up doing and if Congress winds up trying to pass anything that makes the justices adhere to the federal code of ethics, though I'm not sure that would actually apply or do anything in this case.
Now, speaking of the high court this week, the confirmation hearings finished up for the White House pick, Ketanji Brown Jackson. Conservative Democrat Joe Manchin of West Virginia, the city's most important swing vote, arguably, said he will vote yes, and that presumably would give the Democrats the votes they need for the confirmation. Maya, does this confirmation seem secure?
It does. And I think that going into these hearings, the White House and Democrats in the Senate had a really they understood that this would be a very likely win for them. And so we also know that Brown Jackson, you know, fits the same profile ideologically of Justice Breyer. And so, you know, I think now it's time to, at least for me, thinking about the implications of this with voters, how this lands on the ground, and if this question of representation on the courts can really carry, you know, over with voters as we head into a primary season in these next few weeks and months.
So, Domenico, we have about a minute or so left, and I wanted to ask about upcoming elections and how big a role or smaller role Donald Trump may play as we move into elections. We saw endorsements being rescinded and given, and what do you think? How important will Donald Trump's word be?
Well, he's endorsed dozens of candidates. We know now it's pretty clear that the threshold for him and that endorsement is whether or not these candidates back his election lie that he somehow won in 2020, which of course is not true at all. Court after court has shown that. Audit after audit has shown that. But we saw that with the rescinding his endorsement of Mo Brooks, the congressman from Alabama, because he said we need to move on from the 2020 election. And we know Democrats certainly want to put Trump front and center. We know the outside group Priorities USA is spending millions of dollars, for example, tying Trump to January 6th and to some of these Republican candidates.
Domenico Montanaro is senior political editor and correspondent at NPR. Maya King is political reporter at The New York Times. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.